I want to tell you that I sing Christ is Risen and the whole sequence that opens the service tonight and that we do during Bride Week. I sing that to my grandsons all the time. Recently, Monster was being put to bed and they have this sequence they go through with him. And then he said, and Papa Song, play Papa Song, sing Papa Song. And Papa Song is Christ is Risen and Let God Arise and everything. I sing it in this peculiar Appalachian dialect. It's sort of a mixture of what it really is and what I've made it to be. They love it. And the reason I say that is because the resurrection is always with us, even when there are difficulties in our life. And if you'll indulge me for a minute, I wanted to talk about one of the parables. It always hits me very hard, this parable. Even harder, to be honest with you, every year that goes by. As a priest, there's very many difficulties as a priest. And then I encountered, you know, not quite 3 years ago now, a great difficulty when my son died suddenly. And there's sadness in all of our lives. Some of us greater or lesser, some of us cope with it better or not so good. But we all have these difficulties in our lives. But in the end, all is well. Because the Lord is risen and because he abides in us and we're getting perfected. Of course, these steps that we're taking to perfection, every single one of them is an imperfect step. And sometimes a very difficult step and a very hard time. This is a hard time of life for a lot of people, both Orthodox and not, believers and not believers. Some people are really struggling with what's happening in the world today, worries about what's happening now, what will happen later, what about my job, what about my business, what about my older grandmother, will she get sick, I'm missing the mysteries. There's so much that's happening, so much difficulty. And to me, that so much is encapsulated in this reading from the fourth book of Kings about the Shunammite woman and how she had a son that was promised to her by Elisha, promised to her. So she didn't believe him. She was old, and she didn't believe that she would have a son. So she said, don't play tricks with me. Don't fool me. But it came to be true. In the season that he said, she bore a son. And this son, I think, lived about 10 years, I think. I think he was about 10 years old. I don't know where I found that out from. I don't know if it says it in the text or not. I think it was about 10 years. And the father was working in the fields, and he was working with him, and he got a headache. He probably had basically a cerebral hemorrhage. And he died in his mother's lap. His mother had said 10 years before, don't fool with me. Don't tell me something that you're not going to do. Don't do that. But then the son was born, and she loved this son more than air. And then he dies. But she reacts very peculiarly. She wants to go to Elisha, and it's not the right time of the month. There's a certain time when she would go see him, and it was not a new moon, it was not a Sabbath, and her husband is like, why are you going then? She won't say anything. She says, all is well. And she goes and just says, all is well. All was not well. It wasn't well at all. She had a dead son in her upper room of her house. It wasn't well at all. And she was hurrying to see him. And of course, he's aware that something's wrong, but he doesn't know what it is. Nobody in the world knows what's wrong. Only God. Even those closest to you cannot really know what's wrong. They can't even figure themselves out. So they certainly can't figure you out. There's all these troubles in the world. And you have troubles, and your loved ones have troubles. But all is well. As Christians, we believe that. We don't pretend that everything that we go through in life is good and wonderful. We don't pretend that at all. We're not playing mind games with ourselves. But truly, all is well. Because this woman had great faith. And her boy was going to be resurrected. Now, she didn't exactly completely comport herself like she believed that, but I tell you, she did. She was working through human grief and doubt, But she believed, because that's why she saddled the ass, or had the servant saddle the ass and go and see him. And of course, he brought, had Gehazi go ahead with a staff, which is a cross. But he needed to be touched, this boy needed to be touched, not just by Gehazi and not just by the wood of the cross, but by Jesus Christ himself. And that's who Elisha is in this instance, as a type. Going to the boy, putting his eyes on his eyes and his nose on his nose and his lips on his lips and his hands on his hands. I envision that he's making a cross when he's doing that. And after seven times, the boy comes alive. It was well now. But it had been well before, because the mother said, all is well. Is all well with you? I hope it is. I hope that you live as a Christian. And I hope that despite sadness, difficulties in life, that you always believe that all is well. Because it is. Not for wishful thinking, but you are growing to become perfected. So all is well. And whatever you go through to become perfected, you won't remember the pain. Or at least not in a painful way. I talk to my people in prison about this all the time. Prison is a diabolical, terrible place. I'm not saying that people shouldn't be put in prison. I know some people that I don't think should be. But in general, there's a need for prison because of the misbehavior of men and how men and women, how humans can act just beastly, and they need to be shut off from society either to repent and to reform or to be safely away and sequestered from society. But prison is a hard place. It's a hard place because of the isolation and the time and the reminders time and time again that the prisoner is really not a worthwhile human being. They don't even call them by any name other than offender. So there's a lot of pain for these guys. I'm not saying they haven't caused pain. I'm not pretending that they haven't done bad things. But especially for those who have repented, there's still the pain. There's still that they don't know their dad died while they were in prison, and their sister and brother don't talk to them anymore, and they did a terrible crime, but they're not able to make amends. There's a way to do it in the prison, but if the people don't want to talk to you, you can't talk to them. It's considered probably a felony. So they're just living with this isolation and pain, and some of them are getting very much older, and many of them are going to die in prison. And I tell them something that I completely believe, completely, with every pore of my being. If I didn't believe it, then I wouldn't be a Christian. That in the next life, there will be no sickness or sorrow or sighing. There will only be life. There won't be sadness. Now, if we remember what happened in the previous life, all the pain that we went through, whatever it is, we won't remember it with pain. How can that be? I don't understand. I really don't. But I know it's true. And the resurrection allows that. The resurrection causes that. Because the resurrection becomes imbued into us. We become also resurrected. And we become all light, no darkness. That's what we're celebrating today. And so this Shunammite woman who lost a son and felt all of the grief that a human being would normally feel because of the loss of a son, still could say, it is well. Now, one could argue, if you want to, that she was just trying to get people not to talk to her because she didn't want to talk to people in her grief. And I know exactly how that is. I know exactly when I was full of grief about Daniel, I didn't want anybody to bother me. I wanted to do the things that I wanted to do. I wanted to pray. I wanted to come to the services. I didn't want people to come up and express things to me. It was a very difficult thing for me to have people talk to me. I know how that is. But that's not why she did it. She did it because it was well. Because she believed. Even though her emotions didn't believe. I mean, she didn't exactly introduce herself to Elisha in the most proper way, right? She basically upbraided him. But that was her emotions, and he knew it. But it was well with her because she knew that her son would live. At least I believe this with all my heart. And it's a perfect story to be said among the 15 that we say in this Vespral liturgy, because it's a very realistic story. The resurrection is beautiful and holy, and it leads to perfection. But we're not perfect now, and we're not beautiful now, and we're not holy now. But we're going to be holy. That's what makes me very, very happy. We're going to be holy. In the midst of all this mess, we're going to be holy. So all is well. It really is. And if we live in this way, that all is well, even though we go through difficulties, then we will have joy in our heart. Nobody can take that joy from you, no matter what happens. Whether you're free or not free, that is, in a worldly sense, nobody can take that joy from you if all is well in your heart. That is what we are celebrating today. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So no matter what your troubles are, believe and live as you believe that all is well. Because it is. Because of the resurrection. God bless you and help you. Amen.